Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word, means family, and we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile has finally come down to form one new man, one new species of being. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is Tommy Welchel, and Tommy is the last living link to the Azusa Street Revival, and he's going to share what he heard firsthand from the survivors. They were elderly people. He actually lived with them. They took him off the streets. His father was in prison, and he was living in the streets, and he was addicted to drugs and alcohol, and he got radically saved. He got radically set free from his addictions, and they felt God told them to pour into Tommy the anointings they had, to pour into Tommy the stories of everything that they had seen firsthand, because there was coming a time in which he was supposed to release this information. And the thing that intrigues me the most is the 100-year prophecy. Three of the leaders in different locations prophesied 100 years from the Azusa Street Revival, there would be a breakout of miracles greater than Azusa Street. It wouldn't just be one or two places, one or two special men or women. It would be anyone that opened themselves up to the move of God's Spirit. And he was released by Jesus to start talking about these miracles. Tommy, you were told these miracles as a young man, and then you were told to keep quiet for something like 40 years about the miracles. How do you remember them so well?
I'm in my major tribe. I've got an awful lot of Cherokee in me, and I'm what they call in the Cherokee Nation, it's a keeper. We're people that you tell us something, and then 30 years later, we can retell it exactly like you told it to us.
Well, and the thing that I am so intrigued over, and yesterday we almost got to that point, is the one that God used, one of the most unlikely. If you're an unlikely, guess what? Get ready. God's going to use you.
That's right.
One of the most unlikely was a one-eyed black man at a time before integration. And the Spirit of God showed up in this warehouse in Azusa Street in California, and almost everyone that walked in would walk out with radical miracles happening to them. But it lasted only 3.5 years.
And yes.
And we found out yesterday that this fellow was so humble, William Seymour, that he would put a black box over his head, and he would pray. Now, when he prayed, was he praying in supernatural languages, tongues, or was he praying in English?
He told Brother Sines. Brother Sines would ask him, the piano player.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you pray, he says, I pray in the Spirit.
So he would pray in tongues, but I understand that then he would know what he was praying in tongues.
He understood it.
He had the gift of interpretation.
Yes.
And once he would find out what God wanted, he would then, and only then, take the box off of his head, and whatever God said would happen. But 3.5 years later, he had a broken heart. People were talking about him.
They tried to take the mission away from him.
Why would they want to do that?
I don't know. But they wanted, well, one thing was it. He's not supposed to know anything. He's black.
So there was discrimination.
Discrimination.
Oh, okay. But why did he, do you know why, after about 3.5 years, he took the box off of his head?
They said he never did say.
But do you know what I believe? I'm going to tell you a story, a true sad story. I was involved. I've been involved in several moves of God's Spirit. I was involved once in a move of God's Spirit, nothing like Azusa Street, but a genuine move of God's Spirit. And one time I saw the senior pastor tell someone that was laughing in the Spirit so loud, and he felt he was disrupting his wonderful message. He said, next time that happens to you, I want you to take it. I want you to go out into the lobby and take a towel, put it in your mouth so that you're not disrupting the service with that holy laughter. That's what I believe happened with William Seymour. When William Seymour took that box off of his head, what happened to the revival?
Within 2 weeks, they told me, all of them told me, within 2 weeks, the Shekinah glory had left. A few healings, people receiving the baptism, but no supernatural stuff at all. It just died.
And how old was he at that time?
Well, that would have been in 1909. He died in 1922 at 52 years old.
But when the revival stopped, how long did he live?
He lived 13 more years. So many people criticized Seymour and telling him he's getting too famous, too big to be sitting there with that, some even said, a dumb box sitting on your head.
I have to believe that he listened to the people.
He started getting
than listening to God. Now, at this revival of Azusa Street, how important was the baptism in the Holy Spirit, praying in supernatural languages and tongues? How important was
it? It was extremely important. When the greatest miracles would happen is when Seymour would come down and he'd take that box off of his head and he'd say, Charles, that's Brother Sines, play this tune. And Brother Sines would say, he would start playing it. He'd walk around on the platform a little while, then he'd say, now, start singing in the Spirit. And that means singing in tongues. When they'd start singing in tongues, that Shekinah glory would start swelling and fill the whole building. Then the flames would shoot up out of the roof.
Could everyone see the flames or just a few people?
No, about 70% could see it.
Well, that's almost everyone. The flames would come out of the building and shoot up to heaven. What else would happen?
A ball of fire would appear about 50 feet from them, and flames would shoot down and go through them and come into the building.
So it's almost like the flames would unite from heaven and earth. Now, out of curiosity, could people that were not in that building, that may not even been believers, could they have seen this when they were walking on the street?
Many called the fire department. They would come down to put out the fire and come running in with their axes and their holes. It is the place is on fire. And they're saying, the government, no, there's no fire. So finally they'd go out. The first time they went out, it was Seymour, John G. Lake, F.F. Bosworth, Brother Smith, and Brother Sines all ran out, looked up, and saw the phenomena. And they said, no, that's just a Shekinah glory like Moses in the burning bush.
But I understand the glory started spreading from that building all the way to the train station. Tell me about that.
The anointing went all the way down. Brother Garcia, the one that told me the story of the arm growing out, he lived straight across.
Wait, before you tell me that story, you can't leave that alone. Tell me about an arm growing out. Tell me about that.
Well, the man that had his arm, even his shoulder joint, ripped out on a job. It had happened 10 years earlier. And they didn't have the benefits and things they have today. So he'd come there, and Seymour had come up and was talking to the man and said, now, can you work? He says, no, sir, I can do minimal jobs, and that means I get minimal pay. He said, you married? He said, yes. He's got kids? He said, yes. He said, can you make a living? He says, hardly. I can hardly feed them. He said, folks, this man needs his old job back. And he jokingly says, if I pray for you and God gives you a new arm, will you tithe? And the man says, yeah. And he goes laughing. He says, no, I'm just teasing you. He said, folks, you want to have fun like we did about a year ago when the man's leg grew out. He said, well, we're fixing to. He told him, take this artificial arm off of him. Well, they did. And Brother Garcia could look down into the hole in the socket. And it was just bone. And it wasn't very good. It looked bad. And he said, Seymour laid his hand on his shoulder and started praying. Now, the flames were shooting out and flames coming down. And they said, the bone started growing out. And about 4 inches behind it, flesh would start forming around it. And he said, I could sit there and watch it just grow out. He said, I even seen when the fingernails appeared on it.
Can you imagine the impact it would have on someone's faith in everything God has to see an entire part of a shoulder and an entire arm growing out? Okay, what was going on? What were you told about the train station?
Okay, Garcia said when he would come in, he was a young man, he wasn't married yet. And in the wintertime, oh, it wasn't no real bad winter there, but it would be dark when he'd get home, and he'd come in and, take a shower, get ready, come out on his porch, and he looked over across, and he could see the mission from Pine Street, which was a block away from the big boulevard that ran right past the train station. Now, if he seen the flames going up, he said he would run to Azusa the whole mile. Because he knew things were, this day wasn't, but he was walking by, and he looked out, and the platform was full of people just laying there. He thought, my God, there must have been some kind of disaster.
This is at the railroad platform.
Yeah. It's a half a mile away from Azusa.
So you're saying that the glory in Azusa went a half a mile and flattened just normal people, not even believers, from the presence of God.
Most of those were believers.
Okay.
They were getting off, but some weren't.
Oh, I'll tell you what, we're out of time, but I want you to read these stories because everything you're reading is going to happen in your life and is going to happen in the world. And those of you that are so pessimistic about what's happening in the world, what's going to happen to this dark world when the Shekinah glory starts such a powerful move. I want you to get his new book, True Stories of the Miracles of Azusa Street and Beyond, the two CDs, Miracle Impartations. They all prayed for Tommy, these senior survivors of Azusa Street, and he wants to pray that impartation for you for a gift of $35. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural!, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH. Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.